Well, good morning, everybody. Sure is good to be here. It doesn't seem like it could be 3 years since we last were here, but somehow a lot has happened in that past 3 years. If you want to turn while I'm talking to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, just give you a little bit of time and I'll talk a little bit about the ministry over in New Guinea. I'm sure most of you have probably are familiar with our ministry as through the prayer letters and things like that. Right now, the Lord has really been blessing the work over there. It's just like any work that takes time to get through for the Word of God and to just break through people's hearts. But it's been exciting, especially the last several weeks. I'm guessing the last couple months especially, there have been several people that we've been praying for a long time. I'll tell you about one family in particular. The husband has been saved, and he's been excited about serving the Lord, but his wife is just really... She didn't want to have anything to do with anything spiritual or anything like that. She would come to church just because she was expected to, but she had never really had any interest in spiritual things. And so we've been praying and praying, and they just, in the family as well, she was fighting with her husband and, you know, trying to beat him up and all the kinds of things like that. So it's just been something we've been praying about for a long time because her husband had come and just say, what do I do? And, you know, how are we going to help her to get accept the Lord as her Savior? And the exciting thing has been, I think it was 3 weeks ago, after one of the Sunday morning services, she said that she wanted to talk to me. We sat down, Lauren and I, and we talked with her, and she accepted the Lord as her Savior. And it has just been amazing. I mean, that's exciting. But then when we see the fruit of it afterwards, too, that was what just kind of confirmed our minds. It wasn't just something she was saying to get everybody off of her back. Seeing their life totally change and then come to church. And one thing you have to understand about the culture of PNG, husbands and wives, typically, you know, you won't ever see a husband putting his arm around his wife or holding hands or anything like that. It's just totally, a lot of times if they're walking, the husband will be about, 4 or 5 meters in front of the wife, and the wife will just kind of walk off in the back with the kids. And so it's just kind of exciting to see now, before there was all the fighting in the home and everything, and now they sit next to each other in church, and, you know, we took a picture and he puts his arm around her, and it's just exciting to see changes like that. That's what the Word of God does in people's lives, and that's just one little, for instance, but the Lord has been really good. There have been the struggles, but it's just exciting to see the work of a God go ahead. As far as the whole history of what's kind of been going on in the village, if you come tonight, that would be great. Then you could see it. It's going to be easier for you to see the pictures and be able to show you the church building and our house and the people's faces and things like that. It'll be good if you're able to make it out tonight. So yes, I think that's all I need to do as far as an introduction of that goes. Ephesians in chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 19 and verse 20. That those 19 and 20 are the main ones I'm going to be focusing on, but to give you a little bit of context, I want to start back at 15. Okay, so hopefully I didn't confuse you there. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. If I can go ahead and pray, and then we'll go into some things that I think could be a blessing to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and I'm just asking for your help right now. It's been a long time since I've preached in English, and I just pray that you'd help my words to be clear, and that you'd help this truth that you've brought to my heart, that would be clear to everybody here, and that just not that they would understand it, but that they would also, your Holy Spirit would apply that truth to their lives, that they would be able to see changes in their life as well. So I ask you for that. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, maybe on Sunday morning like this, where you sit down and you hear a message preached, and in your heart, you're saying, that's a really good message. That's something I really need to do in my life. I can understand. That's a good thing to do. Something that God wants me to do. And you look at that and you kind of evaluate and say, that's great, but it's just not me. I can't do that. It's too hard for me. Some of those very spiritual Christians, they could do it, but I just can't do it. Maybe you've even tried. Maybe you've gone back and said, well, I'll give it a try. And you try it for a while, and after a while you say, I just can't do it. When we're talking about missions, a lot of people that I have talked to before, when it comes to the idea of will you surrender your life to say, Lord, if you want me to go somewhere else to preach your word, if you want me to be, for the men, if you want me to be a preacher, I'll do that. If you want me to move my whole family to somewhere else to help out a new ministry that's starting up, I'll do that. A lot of people that I've talked to would look at that and they say, well, I'm sorry, but that's just, I couldn't do that. People talk about us going over to New Guinea. I couldn't go over to a place like that where they do all those kind of crazy things and eat cats and dogs and all kinds of things. I couldn't go to a place like that. Well, to be honest, I think the idea of surrender or saying yes to God, saying, yes, I will do something. A lot of times, at least, maybe I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for in my own life. Sometimes we refuse to say yes to God about something. We refuse to do something we know we ought to do. It's clear, and we've seen God working in our hearts to say, yes, you need to do that, but we say no. I think one of the reasons sometimes is because we don't really believe in God's power. Now, we would say it. We would say, you know, God has all power. But as far as God working through my life, I need to believe, if I'm going to obey God, if I'm going to, you already know we're serving over in New Guinea, the things that we face over there sometimes are beyond what I would, if I were sitting back in a comfortable place in Australia or America, I would say that's going to be too hard. If I would have known everything was going to happen ahead of time, I don't think in my own strength that I would say, sure, I'm up to that. But I want us to look at something here that I think could be a help to you. I know it has been to me. If you look at 19 and 20 again, it says here, I got to get the first part of the sentence. The first part of the sentence in verse 15, he's saying that when he heard of their faith, in verse 16 it says, he didn't cease to give prayers, to make mention of you in my prayers. And then he's saying, here's what I'm praying for you, okay? I'm not going to give the whole prayer. I'm going to focus on one section there in 19. So one of his prayers is that they would know and they would be able to understand. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Two main things I want us to get out of these verses. There's a lot of things that we could see if we were to sit down and study and take the verse apart, basically. But two main things I want you to notice this morning. First of all, I want us to see God's infinite power. He's trying to show us here how great God's power is. And then the second half of it is that he wants us to understand that that same power is the power that works in you and in me. If Christ has saved you, he is wanting to use that power to work in your life to enable you to do things that you don't think you can do. A lot of times we're scared to obey God because we really don't think that God can do that kind of a work in my life. So what he's doing here, he says, I'm going to take the second half of it first, where it says here it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He says the power that is working in your life, the power that can change your life, the power that can go with you to do what you cannot do, he said that is the power that raised Christ from the dead. If you remember back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, when Jesus was talking to his disciples and to us, I don't want to end up misquoting, so I'm going to go there myself. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be sustaining you. I'm going to be helping you. When I give you a job, I am going to be with you. But to understand what the real meaning of that, I am going to be with you, we need to go back and think again about the power that can work in us. And that's what he's saying here. I want you to understand. I'm praying to God that you would be able to understand what kind of power is available to work through you. That's in essence, if we summarize those two verses in Ephesians 1, he's saying, I'm praying that God would help you to understand what kind of power is available to you. So he says, it is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. As I was studying, I was thinking, could I honestly ever say that there's any problem that comes up in my life, or any difficulty or any command that God gives me, that would take more power to do, or more power to solve a problem than the power that would take to raise the dead? I mean, we would look at the ability to raise somebody that is dead. We would say that is physically impossible. That is greater than any other difficult thing that you could say. And so that's why Paul here is praying. He's saying, I'm praying that you'll understand the power that is available to work in your life is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And when I think about that, it's really amazing. Just focusing back, it's not something we don't know, but to be reminded, when I have a problem, the power that is available to fix that problem, the power that is available to give me the courage to do something that I normally wouldn't be able to do, that is the power of the resurrection. The same power that can work in me is the power that raised Christ from the dead. Hey, you have any problems bigger than that? Anything too hard or harder than raising a person from the dead? If you're here and I'm not speaking at any particular thing as far as surrender, but is there something maybe in your heart right now that God has already convinced you, you know you need to do, but you've been just kind of delaying or saying maybe later, or maybe you just said plain no to God? Could it be that you really just don't trust God to do what he said he was going to do? If God says, I'm going to be with you, if God says, I'm going to help you, I'm going to enable you, which many portions in the Bible, I'll read some later, talk about God's sustaining power for us obeying him. The truth is, I think a lot of times we just don't think that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. But God's power is great enough. That's why Paul is saying the same power that raised Christ from the dead, he says the same power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The power to raise Christ from the dead, the power to have him ascend up into heaven to be with God the Father, that is the same power that can work in my life, enable me to do what we do in New Guinea, which is no greater than God, than the power that you need to live the Christian life and to be a faithful witness in your workplace or whatever else it is that God wants you to do. It's interesting, though, and I think the Lord encourages us now and then to show us that his power is not limited to back long time ago when Jesus was raised from the dead. Sometimes I think we tend to think that, you know, God did it back then, but he doesn't do that kind of thing anymore. And I was just thinking, and I could give you lots of illustrations of just things that God has done in protecting us, helping us as we've, in the last several years, being over in New Guinea. I thought I would just give you a couple little stories. Not to say that we are anybody special, but that our God is special. These things that I'm going to tell you about are things that we didn't even know about until afterwards, so the way God took care of us and protected us. I guess it would be about 2 years ago, we had purchased land in our village for our house to be on and for the church to be on. And we needed to go to town to get all the things, make the payments. We wanted to do it in front of government officials. The way of buying property over there is, of course, totally different than over here. And so we loaded up. We had probably, probably 30 or 40 people all together. We had to hire a bus to take, or a big truck to take everybody into town. So we had everybody all into town waiting for the time where we could make the payment. And the day came, it was a big headache trying to get to everything to work out and get all the people there that needed to be there. But when the final day came where we were supposed to actually make the payment to them, everything went fine. It looked like it went fine. It was just a little annoying as far as how slow things were, but everything went fine. We got back to the village, and a couple weeks later, maybe it was only a week later, we heard stories come back of what actually had been happening during that whole time where we were at the land sales office. And I think I wrote about this in one of our prayer letters, but I'll tell you again. What had happened, there was a criminal gang that lived Oh, they live probably a half hour drive, 20 minutes drive from where our place is. So they had heard about the land purchase and everything. And they thought that they would get in on, see if they could get the money from the land purchase once they were afraid to take it from us, I think is what it was. They wanted to get it as soon as we handed it over to the other people. And so their plan was to come and they were going to bring their whole gang over and blockade the road. And so that just after we left, they would basically steal everything that everybody had after they had already been paid. And so that was their plan. But apparently what happened, the Lord knew all about that plan before we even knew about it. And the gang was on the way to somebody in the room where we were had phoned the gang and told them that we had already made the payment. So they left from where they were, which was a little distance away, probably a 20-minute drive away. They left heading towards our area to be able to block the road off so they could steal all the money. And as they were heading that direction, they hit a big pothole in the road. The guy that was sitting in the back, he was just sitting on the edge of the truck on the back. It popped him out of the vehicle, the bump did, and he landed straight on his head. And he ended up dying on the way to the hospital in about 10 minutes. And because of that, they never ended up making it to our place, and everything was fine. We went back to the village. We didn't even know anything about it. We heard that story, and everybody around was just saying, wow, you know, God takes care of his people. God takes care of his things. We didn't know about it. It wasn't anything great that we did. We had prayed for God's protection, but God did that without us even knowing it. Another, just a little example, too. If you remember right, forget the exact date. I think it was in February last year, so it'd be about a year ago. My wife Lauren had a very severe allergic reaction to something. We still don't know for sure what it was, but something she ate. And she had to be medevaced over to Cairns to be able to get treatment there because nothing the doctors in New Guinea could do was helping her. But the interesting part about the way that God worked things in that, of course, to fly to another country, you really have to have your passports. And we typically didn't take our passports to town. But before we left, for a reason unknown except to God, he prompted my wife, Lauren, just she felt we really need to take our passports to town. And I thought, you're crazy. Why do we want to take our passports to town? They might get stolen if our bags get stolen, and they're very hard to replace. But she felt strongly about it, so I said, okay, well, if you feel strongly, we better do that. We need to do that. So as soon as we got to town, we got a package. I think it was something in a package from over in America that she ate. And fortunately, she ate it in town. That's another thing that God worked out. It could have been that we were headed back to the village, in which case it would have been very hard to get her into town again. And I look at that and say, what was it that, I guess I just look at our own lives and think, we're just plain old people. And to think that God would take time to put a thought in somebody's head is to say, we need to do this without any understanding of it, just to protect us. Maybe those don't mean much to you, but they do to us, because they're ways that God worked, something we can't explain, but a way that God took care of us when we were obeying him. I wish I could say we always obey and we're perfect examples of surrender, but that's not what I'm trying to say today. What I'm trying to emphasize to you is that God still works today. The same power that worked in Jesus Christ to raise him from the dead, the same power is available to us today. But not just to do things of protecting us. I want you to look at that statement in here, back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, then go ahead, it's talking about that you'd understand this, skip the last half of 18 and go to 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? He's saying, I want you to be able to understand, because it's going to be hard for you to understand. I'm assuming that in the church of Ephesus here, that it was something that they struggled with, of really being able to see God's power wants to work in me. He said, I want you to be able to understand the exceeding greatness. It's just something he's having a hard time expressing and saying, I want you to understand something is just too big to understand, but you need to understand it. I'm praying that God would help you to understand the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or we could say toward us who believe. God wants to work in my life. God wants to work in your life to do things that you don't think you can do. We could think of a lot of different situations in your life where you would need God's power. The truth is, in every area of your life, you need God's power. But First of all, I'm just going to read a verse here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Another verse that you can look at right across the page probably for you in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and go to verse 16. It's another prayer that he's praying for the Ephesian people. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. So in verse 14, he starts his prayer and he's saying, this is what I'm praying for. And it says, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Skip down now to verse 20. And it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It's just interesting because these verses, again, talk about the power that worketh in us. It's talking in verse 16, it's talking about strengthened with might by the inner man. He's saying, you people in the Ephesian church, you need to understand God wants to strengthen you. God wants to work in you. But then our text for today is talking about understanding the greatness of the power that is available. Perhaps there's some sin that you think is just too big, that God can't really handle. Maybe you've never thought of it that way, but the truth is that God can help you to overcome sins. God will do the work, but we have to just follow and be, in essence, surrender ourselves to say, God, if you help me, I'm going to get rid of this. And God will help us. What about things like witnessing? Well, telling other people about the Lord. Maybe you're different than most people, but I know most people, and myself included, especially on a one-on-one basis, it's sometimes hard with the people that we know to just bring up a conversation about the Lord. Mainly because most people that we work with, perhaps, you know what they would say, or you know what they would think, and that they would ridicule you, or that they would just brush it right off, or just basically tell you to keep your mouth shut. But are we really going to ignore what God says and say, God, I can't do it. It's just too hard. It's too embarrassing. I'm not a big talker. I'm not an outgoing type of a person. Are we going to make excuses like that? In essence, saying like Moses did, God, this is too hard of a thing for me. I can't speak. I can't talk. Instead of realizing God has enough power to be able to help me to do whatever he told me to do. Sometimes people struggle with prayer. Just remembering to pray, or knowing what to pray, or having faith that God will answer what we pray for. You could say, well, I just have a hard time with prayer. Well, let me just ask you, do you really believe that God has the power to help you? He told us to pray. So God says he's going to work in us. He's going to do an amazing power, work with his amazing power in us who believe. But so many times we don't trust him. We don't really believe that he's really going to do what he said he's going to do. We're thinking about missions today. What if it was God's will for you to go to another country? We're no more special. Our family is no more special than anybody else. God just convinced our hearts that he had a work for us in a place that wasn't our homeland, that he wanted us to move somewhere else to teach those people, to preach to those people about the truth of the gospel. And I don't know what God's will is for your life, but have you ever submitted that to the Lord and said, God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do whatever. Are you maybe holding a little bit of a reserve in the corner of your life saying, I'll do anything you want me to do, but I won't do this? Have you ever actually come to the Lord and said, God, I will do whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, because I can trust your resurrection power to do whatever you tell me to do. That is something that's really exciting to find throughout the scriptures, is that whatever God tells me to do, he's also going to give me the ability, the power to do that. It's kind of like sending somebody to the store, but you typically don't, if you needed some milk or whatever from the store, you typically wouldn't just tell somebody to go to the store. You would give them whatever money it would cost to go and buy the food at the store. You enable them, in essence, to go buy that. You don't expect them to go steal that. You expect them to take the money that you gave them and to go and do the job you sent them to do. And just, I believe it's kind of a picture of our lives. God wants to use me, and he will provide me with enough power to do whatever he has told me to do. But sometimes we refuse, saying, I don't really think that you can do that with me. So I guess my question to you today would be this. As you think in your life, you think through things that the Lord has worked in your heart about. What is it right now that you have been refusing to say yes to the Lord about? In essence, you could say, I'm refusing to surrender to the Lord. I'm refusing to give it all to the Lord. It could be anything. But what is it that you've been saying, no, God, I'm not ready to do that? You know He wants you to do it. You just have been saying, no, not yet. No, I'll do it later. Or maybe you just plain said no to Him. I can't do that. It's too hard. Would you consider this prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian people, which I believe would be the same type of prayer that we could use to pray for ourselves, to ask God, God, would you please help me to understand? Help me to be able to fully grasp the greatness of the power that is available to work in me. When we see that, we can say, God, I know that I can really trust you. Yes, God might do things in your life that you think if you were to look at it now, you would say it's too hard. But the point is, God will help you with whatever comes into your life. I know it's just a simple truth, but I hope it gets a hold of your life like it did with mine. And just to be able to understand, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing in your life that God is telling you to do right now, that He's convicting your heart about right now, that you know, yes, I need to do that. There's nothing that God would say, well, I'm sorry, that's just a little bit too much. That's beyond me. You're not going to be able to handle that. If God tells you to do it, He will give you the power to do it.